God is great, and we just thank God for each life. Zona's life, she was with us for several years, and we just got to know her and love her, and had no idea what her real life story was, but could tell that she loved Jesus with all her heart. And since then, I've learned a lot about her upbringing and how she came to the Lord and everything. So pretty powerful story. You never know that everybody has a story. Everybody has a destiny or a purpose. But a lot of people aren't aware of the fullness of that. And when people pass away, that's the first time you sometimes look at what the value of your life is. Zona was a gift of God for us, for her family, for her friends, and the Lord took her back. The Lord received her back to himself. And that wasn't because she chose that. That was because she had no choice but to accept that apart from him, she couldn't do anything. And in him, she could do all things. So early in her life, she was attracted by somebody that had the glow of the Lord, that had the something special. And she thought, you know, I got to have that. I've got to be like that. And most of our cases, if you've gotten close to the Lord, it's because you saw somebody. You saw somebody else who was no longer just part of this world, just existing, but someone who had life, someone who had the power of the Spirit. And we thank God for Willis and his wife Kathy and their burgeoning family, because she had a big impact. She was a prayer person. She liked to pray a lot, and Willis needed a lot of prayer. So that was good. And I count Willis as a very close friend and as a kindred spirit. So we have a lot of things in common. But one thing is, you have to have a praying mom. Yeah, I was a complete pagan, total, 100% pagan. Had no religious training, never had gone to church ever. And so, you know, for me also to turn around and to give my heart to a God I didn't believe in, didn't want, that took some doing. But when it happened, like with Willis, it was dramatic. It was complete overnight. I didn't have a lot of growth. I just immediately went from the world into the kingdom. And that, I don't know how long ago that was. Long time. Can't even think of how long that was. But I've never had a dull day since then. I've never had I've never been sad since that day that I received the Lord. And it was supernatural. It was dramatic. I've been in love. I just fell in love with him, and I had to change all my ways. I had to change my relationship to my mother, to my wife, to everything and everybody, even my enemies. They had a new lease on life because I no longer cared about enemies, and so it's pretty powerful when you live a life like Zona, that something touches you, and you're no longer able to go on the way you were. You have what they call a born again experience, and you're suddenly filled with a different kind of spirit than you had before. And so the fruit of that is that my mom got saved, my dad got saved, and blah blah blah, all kinds of things happened where one life begins to touch a lot of lives. And I can see from this room, I was expecting three or four people to come. I'm amazed that she had so many friends, which shows the impact of a life and how much we touch people in ways that we don't know. I want to read Psalm 23. Everybody knows this psalm, but it's a comfort psalm. It's a psalm that comforts you. She's gone, so we're sad. Anytime you lose somebody, it causes sadness because you're not seeing them. You're not with them. You won't be seeing them again until heaven. So, but at the same time, it's a celebration. It's good. She's free. She's home. She's not worried. Now, in the scriptures, we say she's asleep. That is, as far as she's concerned, she's just dreaming. And when she wakes up, she'll see the Lord. And all of us will be there. Because someday we'll all be asleep and we'll all wake up and we'll see the Lord's face. So that's a powerful hope that makes a complete difference in this life. I have 4 children, 9 grandchildren. They all love Jesus. My daughter teaches Sunday school here. And they all love the Lord. And it's just like heaven on earth. It's absolutely like heaven on earth. So God is good. Now I want to read Psalm 23 and listen carefully because I'm sure this is one of her favorite psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll never be in want. I'll never want for anything because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, she had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with that. That's who the Lord is. The Lord's a loving Father. Doesn't have to be. He's under no obligation to be. He just wants to be, and he is. And the fact that you and I have sinned or fallen short or turned aside is totally irrelevant to him. On his left hand, of course, under the law, you're guilty. And you're under the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. But under the right hand, which he can exercise anytime he wants to, and he did, he forgives everybody. He just said, Jesus, you go down, and I'm going to send you down, and I want you to pay for everybody's sin so that they're even. Then I want you to baptize them in the Holy Spirit so that they can then live a new life. And restore them slowly, otherwise they'll get proud. But just restore them slowly. So Zona's life, from the moment she received Jesus, and saw there was something more that she needed than just being saved. She needed more than just, you know, I want to go to heaven when I die. She wanted to have an abundant life here. And she wanted to love other people and serve other people with a joy that was so contagious that others would know that's not her, that's the Lord shining through her. That's the Lord acting through her. And that's powerful. That's powerful. So God is good. And her grandchild now is complaining. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll never want for anything. We are never victims. We are never victims. We are always culprits apart from him. But we're never victims. And now we're his beloved. Because the Lord's my shepherd. So therefore, I shall never want at any time. And I can honestly say, truthfully say, both scripturally and personally, I've never been unhappy since the day I met Jesus. That was a long time ago. And that made a difference in our marriage. That made a difference in our children. And made a difference. I go all over the world. I'm a teacher. That teaches pastors and presidents and top executives. I go everywhere, India, China, Africa, Israel, Russia, wherever, teaching and training people to have an abundant life, to have a more intelligent or a clearer or a stronger life. And a lot of people in the third world call me Yahoo because I'm from Texas. And so I'm always happy. I'm never down. I've never been discouraged. I've never been disappointed. I've never, ever been angry at somebody or mad at somebody and so on. I'm totally free. When you're loved, when you have the God who made the universe love you, as Zona did, then you have a shepherd and you won't be in want. So you're never lacking anything. You're always full to the brim. And you can abuse me. That doesn't bother me a bit. You can do harm to me. You're forgiven. It's not a big thing. When you have Jesus, when God is for you, who can be against you? So you know, it's not something I try to do. It's just something I know is, hey, anything bad can happen. It wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't bother me if I drop dead right now. Somebody shoots me. It doesn't bother me. And Zona was like that as well. She wasn't afraid of death. She was full of the light and the love and the glory of God. He makes me lie down. In other words, he's the one that decides where I'll lie down. She's now lying down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he, my good shepherd, Jesus called himself the good shepherd, by the way. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. You know, a lot of people are Christians, but they never had their soul restored. They believe in Jesus. They believe he died on the cross, and they believe that he went to heaven, and that they put their hope in him. But they never actually got their souls restored. And that's a huge thing. So that you're totally free. You're already in the kingdom of God. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places now. We haven't seen it. You don't have to see it to believe it. And that's the way I feel. I don't feel like I'm going somewhere. I'm already there. It's over. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. So the old is gone. And for me, I don't need to see that or experience that. I could see the old and it wouldn't bother me a bit because I don't believe in it. Now, I do. I said I do. So if the old is gone, and then the Bible is very clear. It says, and the new has come. The old has passed away and the new has come. That means we're already in heaven. You don't have to understand that. That's just the truth. And that'll set you free. He makes me. He leads me beside still waters. So wherever she is right now. And by the way, the waters don't look still. They just are. In your life, when it says, he'll lead me beside still waters, that doesn't mean it looks like that. It doesn't look like that. Often. In this world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So you just have to look through this life to see the Word of God, the hand of God, the person of God, as Zona did. So she wasn't a complainer and a griper. I'm sure she never did. Am I right, Willis? A little bit. She was a little bit of a complainer and a griper, but not a lot. By the way, that's just your psychological nature when you do that. But your heart is fixed. Your heart is steadfast. Your heart doesn't move. It's not shaken. And that's something that can only happen. You can't make it happen. It can only happen by the Word of God. It can only happen by the Spirit of God working that Word in your life as Zona knew and experienced. And we had testimonies every week. And so she would always have a testimony, wouldn't she? She'd have, nobody else would have a testimony. She'd say, well, I've got one. she'd always say something about her Lord, her Savior, of how happy she was or how great God was. He restores my soul so that when you're young, by the way, you give your soul away to different things and people and whatnot. You just kind of throw your life away off and waste it. And that needs to be restored. That's like a wall that's kind of broken down. It needs to be patched up again and made whole. And when you meet the Lord, he not only forgives you for all those various things where you went astray, but he patches you back up again and makes you whole, as though you never were what you were before. So I am not what I used to be at all. But I remember every bit of it. I can remember exactly how I felt, what I thought, and what I did. But that's not me anymore. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. So he restores my soul. He patches me back up. He makes me whole again so that I'm happy. The word whole also means healthy, but it also means happy. And I'm happy all the time. Maybe even when I'm sleeping. But I am not upset by anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You can think of anything you want to think of. I'm not upset. Because deep down in my heart, I know that God is in charge of everything. So I've given my children, my wife, my church, my everything to God. Long time ago. Gave my own life. Just, you take it, God. Now it's your investment. If you want to ruin it, that's your business. But if you want to protect it and bless it and prosper it as you say you do, then I totally trust you. I totally trust you. Again, I'm referring to Zona when I say that. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. In other words, he doesn't lead you in paths of righteousness because you're righteous. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, it's his desire to make you shalom with him, to make you peaceful with him, to make you right with him. That's his will, his pleasure, his desire. You don't have to cooperate and say, I'll help you out. He does it all. He does it all. He did it all. It's been done. When he died on Calvary, it was done. When he said it's finished, that means it's finished. It's over with. So there's nothing to fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So there is no evil to fear. Evil is in the world. There's no question about that. We see it every day. We see it in our own lives. We see it in the church. You see it in the world, the economy, the political structures. But I'm not afraid of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is the last enemy, the Bible says. That's the one people fear. If you're afraid of something, it might not even be hell. It might be just death. I don't want to die. I don't want to leave this world. Zona was not afraid of death. She probably didn't want to die, but she had prepared herself for that all along. How many know that this world is tenuous? This world is shaky. This world is uncertain. You never know what's going to happen next. You don't need to. You have a loving Father. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And because it's his pleasure to give me the kingdom, I don't have to even try to do anything to get in. As a matter of fact, I can't. I don't need to. He's already done it. His life is my life. When he lived his life down here and went back to the Father, he actually did that for me, for you, for us, for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when you stand before God, as she will do soon, and he says, well, how do you plead? You will say, innocent. Haven't done a thing wrong. Now, you're not referring to your life. You're referring to the fact that Jesus lived your life for you. He didn't come in his own name. He came in the Father's name. And he lived your life and said, this is for Jim. This is for Bob. This is for Alice. This is for Zona. I'm going to live her life. So when you stand before him, he says, how do you plead? Innocent. That's a faith statement. You know that you're innocent because Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, not for himself. He wasn't trying to go to heaven. Heaven, he is heaven. What he was doing it for us. That's why he came down. And the reason he came down was so that you could walk without fear, without guilt, without condemnation, without being, you know, kind of working on yourself. You don't have to work on yourself. That's God's deal. And you cannot change yourself. I was by nature a criminal. I have a criminal mind. And I was raised by mafia, all my family's mafia. And I grew up in the Chicago area, a rough mafia city. But all my family was, so I didn't make anything to me. I just figured when I grew up, I'd be a criminal. Like my Uncle Duke and my Uncle Vic and my Uncle Tom and so on and so forth. And so I had no stability in my life whatever. But since then, God has turned everything around. And my family, I was able to win a lot of members of my family to the Lord. And that's powerful. That's what Zona did. She also wanted to live in such a way that other people would see the glory of God and would then want and desire to live in God's kingdom rather than in the kingdoms of this world that pass away. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Zona had no wants. She had no fears. I'll fear no evil because you're with me. As long as God is with you, and he is, he'll never leave you. I mean, he'll never leave you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. If you do something wrong, if you think something wrong, whatever, he'll forgive it. He's already paid for that. And you don't have to make up for it. You don't have to do three good things to make up for some bad thing you thought, said, or did. He has already paid for everything, and prepaid, you're in. He didn't come for righteous people. came only for sinners. He was looking around to see if he could find a sinner or two. Found me. And he knew I would never repent or change my mind or do anything. He knew I had no desire to be a Christian. I had no desire at all to live anything other than the life I was living. And I was proud of myself for being wicked, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. I liked doing it. I worked at it, actually. I practiced doing it. Practiced looking innocent when I knew I was guilty so that I wouldn't be caught right away so I could keep sinning. But God did all of that. He turned me around. He not only forgave me for doing that, but He turned me around and restored my marriage, restored everything. And the best has been saved to the last. We're living now in the last. This is the last of the last of the last. We're very near the end. I don't know if any of you understand that the world is kind of crumbling right now. Our own nation is divided. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again once it falls off the wall and cracks. It's real hard. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't do it. So we're at such a stage now that there is no great hero that can save us or fix us or take us back to the beginning or whatever else. So it's up to you personally to live your life in such a way that you make a difference, in such a way that, like Zonah, you don't live for yourself. She was no longer herself. She was now God's person. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. She didn't have any wants. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's a fun thing. That's a fun thing. To have people that are jealous of you or don't like you or whatever reason. He just puts a table down and says, sit down and eat. Well, all the enemies are around. I know, just eat right in front of them. So he prepares a table before you. In other words, you have no complaints. You have no gripes. There's a full table. Every day the Lord gives you a full table. So every day is heaven on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Every day. Every day. And so every day you're not afraid because your enemies can't touch you. There's nothing they can do. Remember Jesus said, the devil's coming, but he has no interest in me. He has nothing on me. There's no way he can relate to me. I'm not worried about him. He can do his worst. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And though he died, 3 days later, he's up again. And back to business as usual, spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. So I hope this is not your life in the future, but this is your life today. That was Zonah. Zonah didn't want to wait till heaven to live in heaven. She wanted to have heaven on earth and let others have that too. And that was her gift, and that's why so many of you are here. Thou anointest my head with oil. That means the Spirit of God is completely permeating you, just as it was with her. That was what she desired. She didn't want to just be born again. She also wanted to be filled, flooded, immersed with the Spirit of God. That would make a huge difference. Thou anointest my head with oil, and it says my cup runs over. I mean, it's so much, I can't even tell you how great it is. How great God is and how great I am because He loves me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So to dwell in God's house forever means to live in His presence, means to abide in Him. Not to move, not to go anywhere. So Zonah didn't go home. Sometimes people say when they die that she went home. She was always there. She's been there since the day she met Jesus. So there's no traveling about. You know, her spirit isn't floating about somewhere, trying to make its way to heaven. She's always been there because spiritually she was born again into the kingdom a long time ago. Her body is still here. And it just decays like all bodies do. But her soul, herself, is no longer what she was, but is what Christ in her is. And therefore, she has a new soul. And that new soul has been perfected. And when the trumpet blows someday, all of us will receive not only a new body, but a new soul, and we'll be together forever and ever. So Zona would, I don't know what kind of message she would preach today, but her life preached even stronger than her words. If your life isn't the sermon, then your words are empty. So that's the beauty of her. You know, I'd like to take a few minutes before I read the closing scripture. I'd like to take a few minutes to ask if anybody would like to share and say a few things about Zona. I'm going to read her obituary, but I want some of you to think about, I need to get up and just say, she was a blessing to me, or I love this about her, or something about her life that was a testimony. Zona Gale Lucas Alred, 79, departed this life to be with her beloved Jesus Tuesday, August 2, 2011, at her residence in Charlottesville, Virginia, from Alzheimer's disease. Born in Boise City, Oklahoma, July 7, 1932, to C.C. and Zumi Lucas as the ninth of 12 children. She went to public school in Delhart, Texas, playing, this is incredible, varsity basketball. After graduation, she attended the University of Texas at Austin. Early in Mom's life, she met a missionary woman, and Mom said that a light shone from her face and decided from that day forth she would not stop till she had what that woman had. It's powerful. It's beautiful. That moment defined the rest of her life. She married Willis Winfred Alfred in 1959 in Dalhart, Texas. During her children's school days, she was room mother, scout leader, softball, basketball, soccer coach, and cheerleader when not coaching. She studied health and nutrition on her own, becoming a supporter of the natural foods before they were popular. She wasn't much of a gardener, but a friend gave her an African violet that blossomed regularly, and so she shared all those blossoms after her windowsill became too full. She loved the pecan trees at her neighbor's home, spent many afternoons gathering and cracking them right on the spot. When her three children left home, she became a prayer minister for her church. She even received an award, Prayer Counselor of the Year. The award was a trip for Hawaii, two people. Mom promptly traded in for a trip to the Holy Land. Now, Willis was telling me that I had something to do with that, but I didn't know anything about it till this moment. In fact, I still don't know anything about it. But apparently, she went on the Holy Land with myself or went with another group or something. So I didn't know that. That's pretty powerful. So what's Hawaii compared to a trip to the Holy Land? I've been to both. I prefer the Holy Land. It's good. Her last job before retirement was a preschool teacher at the Lutheran Church near her home in Richardson. She retired shortly before her third grandchild was born and had four wonderful years caring for him before Alzheimer's made it impossible for her to live independently. She then relocated to Charlottesville with her daughter's family, giving her a chance to get to know her fourth grandchild until she needed more skilled care. At Our Lady of Peace Christopher Center, she enjoyed singing, walking in the garden, and scenic van rides. She always enjoyed family visits with rides to the mountains, local festivals, phone calls with the family, and visits to the playground with her grandchildren, and often swinging with them. The nurses would run into her room worried when they saw her sitting on the floor thinking she'd fallen. But she was just rolling cars with her grandson. Her main goal in life had been to help others. Even in her assisted living memory care, she was voted the most helpful, prayed with the staff for all their troubles on many occasions. She is preceded by her parents, one brother, and three sisters. And I imagine maybe one or two of them are here. Where am I? Yeah. She's survived by her children, Cindy Alred Jackson, and son-in-law, John Jackson, of Charlottesville, Virginia. Willis W. Allred IV and daughter-in-law Kathy of Richardson, Texas, and Teresa Allred of Silver Springs, Maryland. 7 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, 2 brothers, 5 sisters, many nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and nephews. Anyone who knew Mom will agree that she found that light. She spent her life sharing it with whomsoever crossed her path. The prayers of a righteous woman availeth much. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the Lord's rest. God bless you, Mom. All right. It would be good if somebody would get up and share. Yes. Good.
Well, I'm so blessed to say a few words about Zona. I first met her at Fountain Gate Bible College about 30 years ago and came to know her as a prayer warrior and a lover of the Lord. She and I and another friend would meet at her house to pray, and I realized her great faith and trust in the Lord. With that trust, she dared to go where others wouldn't. She once told me she loved to pick up hitchhikers. In fact, she would look for them. I asked her if she didn't think that was dangerous, and her answer was, "Oh, I ask the Holy Spirit first, and then when I get them in the van, I tell them about Jesus." Another instance of her trust was when our prayer friend, Margot Rusk, said she was praying one morning when the Lord told her to go right then, not to hesitate, and give Zona $50 cash. Margot did just that, rang the bell, and told Zona why she was there. Zona was overjoyed as she had been believing all morning that the Lord was going to provide money to get her van out of the repair shop, and it was exactly $50. They rejoiced over the faithfulness of God. Zona's faith left an imprint on my heart. The peace she walked in came from trusting in Him, which is what loving Him brings. Psalm 13:5 says, "I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation."
Powerful. Powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone else. Someone else.
Hello. I had the opportunity to meet Willis's mom about 7th grade, and just she's a very kindred, humble spirit. Come to her house and didn't ever have a whole lot to eat, but you had enough. You had the peace when you walked in, and just a real blessing to have known her. She's, the older we get in our lives, the more we have the opportunity to meet people and, you know, observe and kind of know their hearts, and it was just a blessing to meet her. So, just God bless her.
Powerful. One life. One prayer life, one love life. It's good. Who else?
Aunt Zona, I'll always remember her by. I've known since I was born 52 years ago, and living with her my first few months out of college. And on those whole 52 years, I can never think of her looking inwardly to what she needed or what could have helped her, but always looking outwardly to what she could do for others.
It's powerful. It's powerful. That's something humans can't do. That's something you have to have God to prompt you to do that. Who else? Anyone else? Especially someone that knew her a long time like that. Just watched her growth. It's powerful.
Younger brother over here that spoke first, and I have great, great memories of Aunt Zona. Her enthusiasm for life, she always, you know, like, I mean, your mom and dad, when they were married, sailed, they did bike rides, they had a tremendously active life. And when, I mean, growing up, it was just our mothers were all very close. And so we got to Dallas to see Aunt Zona. And all the kids would play. But I remember we were laughing last night. I said one thing when we were up there about the health food. You know, it's like, well, you know, all the little kids are like, can we have a snack? Can we have a snack? And she's like, well, I have some alfalfa sprouts and some carrots. That's the first time I'd ever heard of alfalfa sprouts. So it was always like, okay, if you want some, if you're going to be hungry, we have our little snacks in the car for me before you get there. But she had a love for God that was so pure and innocent and so one-minded. Yeah. It was such an inspiration to have her in her faith. Mm. And I just, you know, I constantly am still amazed that if she heard it, God said it, and she did it.
Wow.
There were no questions about, well, I mean, somebody's going to think I'm kind of weird if I do that, or, you know, it'd be dangerous. You know, if God said it, she did it. And God was a great protector of her.
Powerful. It's powerful. Anyone else? Yes, Kathleen.
Well, I've known Zona for probably about 20 years. Will and I actually grew up 3-4 blocks away from each other. But we really didn't hang out much because I didn't like him. But as Zona and I became together as a family, she and I spent a lot of time together, whether with Blaine and Bailey and Jordan, or just she and I and our many trips that we spent driving to go visit Will. And that's a 4-hour back and forth. And just the conversations we had, not only about God, but I was always so interested in her family and her life growing up with that large of a family and how neat. And just the stories that she would tell me. You know, we'd get home and we'd go in the house and sit down and tell me, I want to know another one. Well, where'd you go after you left Pegs? And where'd you go after you helped so-and-so? And she was just, it was just interesting. She had a wonderful life. And she just loved me, loved my kids, and loved her children. And I think Will was her favorite. But all I can think of when I reflect back, and you've said this so many times, and I just can't wait to see her face, and I can't wait for her to hear, because she would always say, even before she got sick, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready. She was married to Jesus from the day that Will's father left till the day she died. That was her beloved.
Yes.
And she didn't matter. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. I'm just ready to go see Jesus.
Amen.
But I just, what I can see here, and I just over and over, just that scripture, well done, good and faithful servant. God has been faithful over a few things. I will make the ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I just, it just brings this so much joy to me. Knowing, you know, and hoping, I hope that we're all going to hear it, but I just knowing that she is just.
Amen. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. Anyone else would like to share, just to build us up? Yes.
I met Zona at the age that I was 6 years old. She was a soccer mom, coach, leader. You talked about the health food. I'd often joke with Will and saying that, you know, she invented the Red Bull of the 70s with her vinegar and apple and honey mixture that we drank at our soccer games. It got us through. Mind focused, but definitely her place on this earth was to help others.
Yeah.
All that's everything I've ever known in Zona was to help others.
Unbelievable. It's powerful. Powerful. Who else? Anyone else? I like hearing these stories. They're great. Very encouraging. every life is so powerful and so important, and to see one who's so free and who remained and abided in that all of her days, that's powerful testimony. Anyone else who knew her when she was young or when she was freshly married or at any time in her life and had an impact on you? All right, we're gonna close with this scripture out of Revelation chapter 21.
Jim, I've got a couple of songs. I don't know when I'm supposed to do.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, that'll be great right after I read this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He or she that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he or she shall be my son, my daughter." Lord God, we just thank you for this gift. We thank you that Zona was not herself, but came among us in your name, saying your words, doing your deeds, feeling the things you feel, saying and doing and exhibiting the things that you wanted to do and accomplish on this earth. Certainly well done, good and faithful servant. But we thank you, Lord God, that she herself didn't care about herself because you cared for her and took care of her. And of that she had no doubt. And so we gladly today release her to you and only hang on to the memories of your will and purpose in her life. And thank you that she is now with you and no longer here with us. We know you have reasons why you do what you do. And so what a blessing, what a joy, what a testimony of your goodness, grace, and mercy. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I came up here yesterday, I don't know why, but I was going through this file. And I really was not looking for this. But I get letters sometimes from people, and I keep them all in this file. But I was looking for a particular address that someone wanted me to send a CD to
his brother. And as I pulled this file out and was looking for this address, I saw this letter that was in with all these others. And it caught my eye because it said it's from Zona Allred. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord, for letting me see that, because I never go through that file. And it's just so appropriate to share it. When I read through the obituary about Zona seeing that light in that woman's face, I remember back in, I think it was 2001, I'm not positive about that, but I think that's a year, I was singing at a place called College, and I saw this guy out there, and I saw that same light that was just brilliant. And it inspired me all over again just to see that light, and each time I've seen that light in someone's face, then it has encouraged me all over again. Because it's him, shining. And I saw him shining in Willis. So I got to know Willis, mostly because of what I saw in him there that morning. Anytime you see that light, you better get to know that person, because they've got something in them that you don't want to miss. But because I met Willis then, of course, after he got through talking about Jesus, you know, the next topic was Mom. Pretty much. He had such a respect for her and appreciation for her and the way she so obviously prayed for him. So I went to see her, and I have a son named Jonathan. I've got four sons, but one of them, Jonathan, was going through some old worldly junk, being a rebellious teenager. And so I told Zona about him, and you know, she wanted to pray for him. I don't tell how many people she prayed for. But she wrote me this letter, September 2002. Dear Randy, thank you for the CDs. I planted them. And three have been very blessed by them. The other two are in the mail, one to Colorado and one to California. As I finished reading your letter, the Lord put a burden on my heart to pray for your son, Jonathan. I have made my fireplace into an altar. And I bowed down there, and the presence of the Lord came. There's no distance in the spirit, so I asked the Lord to touch Jonathan in a special way. I would encourage you to let Jonathan know that he's at the age where he's at a point of being responsible for his own actions and decisions. There's a consequence for wrong choices, that he needs to seek the Lord for direction, and that you'll be available to give him guidance. This is a difficult time for the teenager. My home is open to you at any time. During the week, I'm not home till around 4:30. In his name, Zona. And she gave her phone number. There's at the bottom. Got to visit with her a few times, and just I'm thankful that I got to know her. There's another letter that she had written to me that I read through, and she said, talked about the CD, one of the CDs, and said, my favorite song is Humbly I Come. So I knew I had to play that one this morning. Come in your presence, oh Lord, seeking your will and wanting your word. Mold me like clay. Thy saving grace, working in me. Humbly I come in your presence, oh, mold me thy clay. For all to see thy saving grace, thy saving grace working in me. Will said that Judah was going to sit on the front row and help him remember words, but he didn't do it. There's one other song I want to sing, and I don't know if Zona and I ever talked about this song, but I kind of felt like it might be one that she'd want to be sung. And it comes out of the scripture, out of the book of Mark, chapter 9. There's a story in there about a daddy that had a son. And this son had, according to the scripture, had a demon that was trying to kill the boy. You can look at it in Mark 9. And according to this guy, this daddy, this demon would try to throw him in the water, and he'd throw him in the fire. He seized his tongue. He just made his life a mess. Thank you. And this dad just wanted to see his boy get free and get healed. Like most dads would want their children to be free. Well, Mary Dell and I were reading that this morning again, and I'd forgotten that this occurred right after the Transfiguration when Jesus' appearance had changed. And I won't get into that because we'll be here a long time. But when Jesus was kind of, I think, like coming back down the hill, coming upon this group of folks, this daddy and his son were in this group of disciples, according to the scripture. And there were scribes there that were also with this group of disciples. And like religious people do, what they were doing is what they do best. They're arguing. You get a bunch of religious people in a room together, before long, they're trying to prove something to the other one that what I know is the right way. Or I've read something that is better than what that you've read me. Or the experience that I have is somehow elevated above your experience. Rather than just fellowshipping and glorying in the common spirit, our nature is to argue or to try to one-up the other person. So here's this group of disciples and scribes in there, as I picture it, you know, trying to one-up each other a little bit. They're arguing. How many times has that group of religious folks been together? And there's someone that joins the crowd that's really needy. Somebody that has a boy maybe that's demon-possessed. A child that's got a disease. A real need. I mean, he's looking for somebody to help me. Can you help me? I got a child that has a problem. Can you help me? I've got a heart that's broken. Can you help me? I've got a home that's falling apart. Can you help me? But a lot of times, as religious people, we don't see the needs around us nearly as much as we're trying to prove to the other folks that what I know is superior to what you know. And I kind of pictured that that's what was going on. The disciples couldn't help this man, this father, according to the word. But he saw Jesus coming, and he said, I think he can help me. So he went over and he told his story to Jesus. And he said, so I brought my son to you. And I'm asking you to help him if you can. And Jesus said, if I can. All things are possible for him that believes. This guy said the best thing that any one of us in this room could say. He was honest. He wasn't trying to be religious. He was looking for some help, honestly. He said, I do believe. help my unbelief. He recognized that there's still unbelief in there, but with everything that he was about, he made the profession, I do believe. And that's where we are. That's where we find ourselves. In all honesty, just coming before the King of Glory and saying, I do believe. But the parts in here that don't believe, the parts in here that act like they don't believe, would you help me with that? That's kind of what the song's all about. Can you hear that? I lift my prayer up to your throne with all the faith that I can muster on my own. You said if I would just believe, every mountain in my life would up and leave. Well, I tried to hide it, but I'm at my end. So I'm asking you, in spite of all my sin, Jesus, help my unbelief. Take this doubt away from me. You're the only one I know who has the power to make it go. I'm tired of trusting in myself and every other lie from hell. I wanna close my eyes and see the way you wanna move in me. Jesus, help my unbelief. I thought that life was going fine until I recognized the pride you said was mine. And all the fear that I claimed were gone never seemed to really leave my mind alone. So I stand before you and I bear it all. I'm not missing out on one more chance to fall. Jesus, help my unbelief. And take this doubt away from me. You're the only one I know who has the power to make it go. I'm tired of trusting in myself and every other lie from hell. I wanna close my eyes and see the way you wanna move in me. Jesus, help my unbelief. Wanna close my eyes and see the way you wanna move in me. Jesus, help my unbelief.
Ask Willis if he would close in prayer. Would you come?
Lord, we just thank you so much for the life mom lived and the influence you have on all each and every one of us. Just grateful for everybody who came today, and I ask that you to bless them with the truth of your word would pierce their hearts and lead them into salvation. everybody home safely. And bless this barbecue that we're fixing to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Spring Creek Barbecue, right down, next exit, Preston. Take a right, it's right down the creek. Anybody wants to eat?
Are there any brothers or sisters or close relatives that are here? I'd just like to have you stand up and say where you're from. I'm a brother, I'm a sister, whatever.
Alford, Texas. I'm Peggy, and I'm from Walsh, Colorado. Yes, I'm a nice lovely.
Thank you. And any others that are here? So, are you both sisters? Yeah. Younger sisters. is everything we said today true? Yeah, it's precious. Powerful. Powerful. All right. You are dismissed there. I think there's offering plates maybe at the back or something.
Jack? I would like to say that I didn't know Zona that well, but I know Will, and her life is a powerful message. It's a message about the love of God, the mercy of God, and the power of God. So I just wanted to say that if you don't have that in your life and you'd like to, it's not a difficult thing. It's a free gift. Jesus provided that for us. He's alive. In fact, he's here today.
Yes.
And he's in me, he's in Will, many others here. But if you don't have that in your life and you want that, then just ask him. If you want somebody here to pray with you, Pastor Jim's available, I'm available, Bill's available, Will's available, and we'd be happy to get with you, go to God, and help you receive what he's extended to you, freedom. So, thank you for coming. God is good.
Thanks, Will. All right.